You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast right now and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Hey, man, this is crazy. I haven't talked to y'all in months, man. I know. I apologize. So let me first and foremost start off the episode by saying Happy New Year, man. We made it to 2025. A late Happy New Year, but Happy New Year nonetheless. Happy to have you all join in again. Like I said, it's been some time since we last connected, man. It's a lot has been going on in the sports world, from the NBA to the NFL, college football, and more, man. Again, apologies about my absence. I had some things going on, as you guys know how life is. But I'm happy to be back into the mix to talk sports with y'all, man. Can't wait to jump into today's topics. But I hope everybody has been enjoying their start to the new year. I know we're a little over 3 weeks in now, but man, y'all, we got snow. I don't know where y'all are at right now, where you're located, where you're listening from, but we got snow in Atlanta, man, twice. Not once, but twice this year. We had snow for the first time. Well, crazy snow like that for the first time. It's been, 10, 11 years since we had the snowpocalypse, and I was in college during that time, so... but man, we had some snow that actually stuck for a good little while. So it was fun, man. I don't know if y'all are in Atlanta, if you got a chance to go out and enjoy the snow for the few days that we had it here. But I sure did. It was cold out, but, you know, got a chance to get out there and make a snowman, do all the good stuff, man, and have fun doing so. But yeah, man. With that being said, man, let's jump into our sports talk, man, because I'm eager to talk to y'all about what's new, what's going on right now in the world of sports. So first and foremost, man, let me just start off with my Chicago Bears. It wouldn't be right if I didn't kick off the first show of 2025 talking about my Chicago Bears, who just made a big move in hiring Lions former offensive coordinator Ben Johnson as their new head coach. Ben Johnson has signed a contract with the Bears that is reportedly worth $13 million a year. I don't think the official numbers have come out just yet, but it is reported that it is around $13 million per year and a six-year deal. So we'll see all the specifics, I guess, as the days go by when they release the contract details. But right now, to my understanding, it's a six-year deal worth $13 million. He is the second youngest head coach in the NFL at 38 years old. He had his head coach press conference a couple of days ago in Chicago. And a lot was said in that press conference. And he did, before that press conference, he addressed the employees at Halas Hall. But just wanted to quickly talk about a few things, a few key pieces that he said in his introductory press conference as the new head coach for the Chicago Bears. Caleb, he said, and this is Ben Johnson speaking now, he said Caleb played a large component in his decision in coming to Chicago. And as we all know, the Lions season ended on a Friday. I'm going to say it was Friday when the season ended, and he had signed in Chicago with that Monday or Tuesday. So it was really quick, very quick transition. But this is what he had to say on his perception of the Bears entering 2024. This is just again, these are just few bits and pieces of his introductory press conference that I just wanted to highlight. So again, what I'm saying, that Caleb played a large component in his decision. He said it helped to have a quarterback when him making his decision on where he was going to coach. Obviously, we know the Raiders were a team that everybody just all of a sudden penciled in to Las Vegas because Tom Brady was there, and everybody just kept there were reports. It shifted from him being a front runner for Chicago's head coaching job to now entertaining the Raiders who didn't have a quarterback in place. So that was a questionable, you know, that for me, that was like interesting that everybody kind of just penciled them to Vegas when they didn't really have the pieces in place that the Bears did do. And then the Jags came up, obviously, with Trevor Lawrence being there. But again, not the same type of roster and set up the same way Chicago is. So for me, it was like, I don't know. I mean, if he's picking the Raiders and the Jags over the Bears, and I think last year he chose not to go to Washington, and they eventually ended up getting Jaden Daniels, and you see where they are now, and we'll end up talking about Jaden Daniels and the Commanders later on in the show. But, you know, they're obviously going to say, oh, he passed up on Jaden Daniels, but at that time, he obviously didn't know that they were going to get Jaden Daniels, but they were in a position to get a top quarterback in the draft. And he chose to come back, you know, and obviously he mentioned that was due to their season ending the way it did. They were right on the cusp of getting to the Super Bowl, allowed the 49ers to come back and lost that game. And so he wanted to take another run at it. But again, Caleb played a large component. Now, this is what he said on his perception of the Bears entering the 2024 season. So he said, going into the season, I felt like this place was a sleeping giant. I was personally more concerned about the Bears than I was any other team in the division. And yes, this may sound funny to a lot of people seeing that what our record is right now. But prior to the season, coming into the season, he was just looking at, you know, scheming up against this defense, how he was going to go about that. Because if you all haven't really watched the Bears and the Lions play, outside of those who are fans of both teams, you would notice that there's been a back and forth between these teams. Yes, the Lions have gotten a better end the last few times, but the Bears have not made it easy. And so he was highlighting the fact that, like, looking at this defense, it was like, okay, well, how am I going to scheme up against this defense? And a defense that knows how to create turnovers and things of that nature. So that's what he was saying on his perception about the Bears from last year, well, heading into the 2024 season. Now, he was asked about how he's going to go about building the Bears' offense. He said that, you know, the offense is going to be built, and he will collaborate this offense around Caleb Williams, but it's going to be Caleb Williams, but it's going to be calibrated around Caleb Williams, but it won't only just be about him. It's going to take a collective and a collaborative effort, obviously. But he's going to calibrate this offense around Caleb Williams. He said it's not going to look like it did in Detroit. And he said that personnel in Detroit is completely different. He's not just going to simply take Detroit's playbook that he had and just drop that into Chicago and run the offense like that. He said they're going to rip it down, rip it to shreds, build it up from the ground up, and again, built this offense. Obviously, he's going to have, you know, those, you know, looks and those plays that he likes from his offense that he ran Detroit. So I'm sure we'll see a lot of that creativity implemented in there. But Jared Goff and Caleb Williams are two different quarterbacks. So there's a little bit more that you can do when it comes to, you know, one or the other. So in certain areas. So I am excited about what this offense will look like. But I do like the fact that in the past, we've had head coaches in Chicago who didn't understand. I mean, you did this with Mitchell Trubisky. You know, he was a really good quarterback when he was outside of the pocket, when he was on the move. Then we went 12-4, went to the playoffs. But the year after that, they decided, Matt Nagy and them, it was like, oh, we want to make him a pocket quarterback. And that's not what Mitch is. Mitch was getting on the move, made a lot of his best throws while he was moving. But they tried to get him to stay in the pocket, and that just completely destroyed his game. Similar with Justin Fields. Justin Fields, we know what Justin Fields can do when he's on the move. I'm not saying that he can't throw from the pocket, but you're limiting his skill set by telling him, hey, you got to stand in that pocket and go through your progressions. No, if it's not there, you need to go. Look at Lamar Jackson. Like, if it's not there, that first, second read, boom, he's gone. So you take away from that ability of the quarterback when you try to limit and tell them, oh, you have to stay in his pocket and go through it. Now, that's not to say that they don't need to know how to maneuver in the pocket, because, yes, of course you need to know how to maneuver in the pocket. You can't play the entire game on the run and be successful, but there are certain times where if you constantly, like, feeding that into a rookie's mind over and over and over and over again, it kind of, you built that, they built that doubt within themselves, like, man, like, I want to do this, but coach wants me to do this. So now you're kind of second guessing what your instincts are telling you. So you got to follow your instincts. And I think that Ben is going to do a tremendous job at developing Caleb. And I couldn't be more excited about that. But when he was asked about how quickly can the Bears get back to being competitive and contending for the playoffs, he said that, you know, 2025 is a realistic possibility. And he said there's no question that, you know, it can happen. In 2025, it just depends on how hard we're willing to work and sacrifice, and how you know, what are we going to put into it each and every day. So how hard are we willing to sacrifice? How hard are we willing to work? And his message to the players, this is one thing that I liked as well from that press conference. He said, "Get comfortable being uncomfortable." I like that a lot. Because this is a new mentality, right? We haven't had a head coach come in outside of Lovie Smith. Lovie Smith was the last head coach that really, you know, had established that solid foundation, that solid culture in the locker room. But we haven't had a coach come in like this with this type of mentality in years. And so it is refreshing to hear him say, hey, look, get comfortable being uncomfortable. And, you know, this is a new way. He said, we're going to do what we say we're going to do, and we're going to be who we say we're going to be. And if we fall short of those standards, there has to be consequences. And that's what he had to say about accountability. And I love that, right? Like, hold everybody accountable. There's no more 11, 12, you know, game losing seasons. We're not doing that anymore. We are coming into this with a new stance on accountability. And this is how we're going to do these things. And I think he established that from day one in that press conference. And another cool thing that he said, and this is the last the last quote that I wanted to take on his philosophy around his offense that he's going to be running. Obviously, he said he's going to be calling the plays. He'll be bringing in an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, but he will be calling the plays. But he said, we're going to make the same things look different, and different things look the same. I like that philosophy because, again, if you look back into his time in Detroit, where he had three or four different formations for running the football, right? And he was the thing that stands out about Ben Johnson is not only was he really effective in the passing game, but his offense was very productive running the football. So, obviously, we're going to have to get some, you know, built that line up, which I'm pretty sure he understands that, you know. And so, but no, I like that disguising looks, making something look different and throwing that defense off, constantly keeping them on their heels. So after his press conference, Bears chairman George McCaskey and the general manager Ryan Poles, they both noted that the first thing that Ben Johnson said in his Zoom interview was, I want this job. Again, he had a mini speech that he gave to the staff at Hollis Hall on Tuesday. He said, look, this is exactly where we wanted to be, right? And he said, there's nothing more important in that locker room. He explained to the staff that everybody, each and every day, needs to give everything they have and support that locker room, because that's the most important thing. And if we're able to do those things, the wins will come, right? I really like that, you know, great way to just go ahead and establish that right from day one. And if you had any questions about if Ben Johnson is ready for this job, I saw a lot of people out there, oh, we don't know what it's going to look. Of course you don't know what it's going to look like. You know, this is first year as a head coach. But I love how the media and a lot of people are trying to rain on Bears fans and the Bears parade, because we got the best option, a head coach, on out of all the candidates. The hottest candidate, he chose Chicago, and that's hard for a lot of people to grasp. But don't try to rain on our parade. This is a great time to be a Bears fan. We are going to be excited. We are excited. Of course, I mean, I didn't see a lot of people coming out there and saying this when, you know, Sean McVay went to the Rams. Everybody was like, oh, we don't know what it's going to look like. And it's nobody knows what it's going to look like. But we can be excited that it's going to be and it's going to look totally different than it has in the past. And if you had any questions about that, I mean, if you listen to his press conference and listen to the things that he's saying, he's ready to take this job. I mean, he even explained that the NFC North, obviously we know that this is the best division in football, in the NFL. You can argue me down all you want to. Three teams from the division went to the playoffs. Yeah, they didn't, you know, obviously advance to the Super Bowl, but getting three teams out of your division in the playoffs is huge. So he's not shying away from that, right? He wants to compete against the best and win. He's also working to put together an elite staff. Again, he wants to bring in an offensive coordinator. A lot of people are mentioning, I think the guy's name is Hank from Detroit. He was the offensive line coach. So bringing him in, and then Dennis Allen is rumored to be a top candidate for a defensive coordinator position. He would be coming over from the New Orleans Saints if that does happen. But again, he's trying to put together a staff, an elite staff that's going to support this team. And again, I love this hire. I'm absolutely ecstatic. You know, for the first time, the Bears front office not only went out and got who the fans wanted, but they did it swiftly. They did it expeditiously. What a time to be a Bears fan, man. And hey, that's all I got to say about that. But in other NFL head coaching search news, because we know there were other vacancies out there, the New York Jets have officially signed Aaron Glenn. He's agreed. He's a former New York Jet, former defensive back for the New York Jets, if you didn't know already. So that makes sense that he would be a good fit there. He, as we all know, was the defensive coordinator in Detroit. He is now the head coach of the New York Jets. Liam Cohen, former Bucks offensive coordinator, has agreed to become the Jaguars' next head coach. And with that, the Raiders, Saints, and Cowboys are all still in search for their next head coach. So we'll keep an eye on that. I'll continue to keep reporting on that as the news keeps breaking. So a lot of names out there looking for jobs with, you know, a few positions open right now. So a lot of interviews taking place. We all know the big rumor out there is the Deion Sanders coming to Dallas. I do think that Deion, if Jerry Jones does offer him that position, I do think Deion Sanders will go to Dallas. He'll convince them to somehow draft, Shadur. And that's the only way he'll come. But if he does agree to go to Dallas, just know that it's because Dallas will be making a huge push to draft Shadur. And that's what it'll be. But yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. We'll keep paying attention to the news as it breaks. Next, man, let's talk college football. I know I hadn't had a lot of recently haven't had a chance to talk to you guys throughout the playoff or anything like that. I know that first round was pretty boring. The second round was I think that Texas and Arizona State was the best game out of that second round for me. And then obviously couldn't have had more satisfaction seeing Ohio State stomp on Georgia. So all my Georgia fans out there, it's all good. Don't be mad at me. Hey, look, I didn't do it. I'm just reporting. Don't shoot the messenger. But yeah, man, Ohio State wins the national championship. They knock off Notre Dame 34-23. And man, yeah, they are the national champions. Let's go over some of the stats from the game here. Will Howard, 17-21, 231 yards, 2 touchdowns. Quinshon Judkins had 100 yards on the ground. He averaged 9 yards a carry. He had 2 touchdowns on the board. Jeremiah Smith, 88 yards off 5 receptions and a touchdown as well. Team-wise, Ohio State, 9 of 12 on third down. They only had six penalties. Notre Dame had less penalties than them, so I'm not really going to highlight that one. But they controlled the time possession, 32 minutes, 27 minutes. Outrushed Notre Dame, 214 to 53. So 445 yards in total offense. Ryan Day finally got over the hump. And, you know, looks like all is well in the eyes, in the fans' eyes, even though he still can't beat Michigan. But, all is well. I would say it's safe to say and assume that Ohio State fans are, you know, they're good. They lost to Michigan four times in a row, but they finally, for the first time since, 2015, have hoisted the national championship trophy. And, the last one that they actually played in was 2020 when my Alabama Crimson Tide rolled over. But to me, and it's not a lot of people talking about this, but I was sitting there thinking about it, and I said, you know, it's wild how Ohio State won the Natty in the first year of the college football playoff. You remember? They won their very first college football playoff national championship. They won against Oregon. And now they won a Natty in the first year of the expanded playoff. So that's pretty that's pretty interesting that that happened. I mean, it's ironic. I mean, I haven't heard anybody bring that up. I was just sitting here thinking about it, and I said, wow. But you know what happened after that, right? After Ohio State won, Alabama won that next year. So I'm just saying, look, the tide are coming, man. The tide are coming next year. Maybe history's going to repeat itself. We'll see. But you know my tide are coming, man. But, yeah, Ohio State, I mean, they have a really talented roster next year, coming in next year. So I know they'll be in the mix to try and, you know, make another title run. They will be on the road at Michigan this year. And I got to take a look at their schedule because I don't know how tough their schedule is looking this year. We'll go ahead and pull it up while we got. And breaking news. Wow, this is wild. I'm actually pretty glad this broke while I am recording live. Pete Carroll has agreed on a deal to become the Raiders' next head coach. So while I said that Raiders' position was open, now that position is filled. Pete Carroll is now headed to Las Vegas to coach the Raiders. Wow. Wow. That is, Pete Carroll, 74 years old, a lot of experience, been to the Super Bowl, lost and won the Super Bowl, should have won two, but, you know, for whatever reason, they wanted to throw a slant on a 2-yard line, but hey, I'm not even going to go there. But yeah, man, that's, wow. Okay. Pete Carroll to the Raiders. I was not expecting that because I didn't see any report out there saying that Pete Carroll was going to was interviewing with the Raiders. I'm not saying that, you know, maybe I just overlooked it, but I didn't see anybody projecting that. So yeah, there you have it. Raiders got your new head coach, Pete Carroll. But let's go back to Ohio State schedule. I got that pulled up now. So looking at their schedule for this upcoming season, they start off with Texas. So that's going to be a pretty intense matchup right there. So Texas, they kick off the year against them. They go, let's see, they go to Washington. Not really concerned about that. And look, honestly, looking at their schedule, I mean, Texas, Penn State, they got Penn State at home, and they go to Michigan. That's really it. I mean, they go to Wisconsin, but, I mean, I don't know. Wisconsin actually almost beat Oregon this year, so you never know with Wisconsin. That could be a that could be a trap game. But they have a fairly easy schedule ending of this year, so they'll definitely be back in the playoff mix unless something crazy happens. But I would expect them to be back in the mix. So, yeah. And especially with them having Jeremiah Smith, man. I mean, he's freshman this year, lighting it up, looking like he's been doing this for years. He's a baller. I mean, you can't deny that. So, yeah. Watch out for him next year. And, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And moving on, man, let's keep it in college football, because Stephen A. Said something on First Take that really had me scratching my head. And I really don't understand why he would have made a statement like this. But it's Stephen A. You never know what he's going to say. It can be unpredictable. But he says that the Big Ten, him and Paul Feinbaum, I would add, but Stephen A. says and Paul say that the Big Ten has now claimed college football. He said that the SEC can no longer say they're the best conference in college football. Now, this is probably one of the most idiotic things that I've heard Stephen A. and Paul Feinbaum say. Now, they've said a lot of idiotic, crazy things, but this one right here is this probably top five easy. And this is why. Let's first and foremost, let's look at the stats. The SEC has won 13 out of the last 20 national championships. 13 out of the last 20 national championships. The other seven were won by, listen, Texas in 05, Florida State in 2013, Ohio State in 2014, Clemson in 2016 and 2018, and we just recently had Michigan in 2023 and Ohio State in 2024. In that 20-year span, the SEC went on streaks of seven straight national championships and another streak of four straight. I repeat that. In the 20-year span, that 20-year span that I just talked about, where the SEC won 13 out of the last 20 national championships, they went on streaks of seven straight national championships and another streak of four straight national championships. The Big Ten wins three natties in 20 years and now they're the best conference in college football. What are we talking about? That makes no sense. I mean, what are we talking about right now? That doesn't even logically make any type of sense. The SEC doesn't go to the national championship and win for 2 years. And now all of a sudden, because the Big Ten has won back-to-back for the first time in God knows how long, now they're the best conference in college football. That's just a clown take to me. I'm sorry. That you can send this to Stephen A. You can send it to Paul. I tweeted Stephen A. and let him know. I mean, that's just a clown take to me. I just do not agree with that at all. Now, when an SEC team wins next year, I want him and anyone else who's insane enough to blurt out some nonsense like this to keep that same energy. Again, they love to see the SEC, you know, down a year or two, and they're going to take that and run with it. And it's hilarious. I mean, you talk about two guys. I mean, Stephen A. claims to be an Alabama fan. I mean, he's always, when Alabama was winning, he was diehard, Roll Tide, Roll Tide, Roll Tide. And yeah, last couple years struggling. And he's just, I mean, it's kind of wishy-washy to me. And Paul Feinbaum, we know how he is when it comes to the SEC. So I'm surprised that he would even make a statement like this. He's an SEC guy. But he also went to Tennessee, so that says a lot about that. But yeah, well, I'm that's all I got to say about it. I just thought that was cloud takes by both of them. So I had to hit them with the facts. I don't see anybody bringing up the facts. You just make a statement like, oh, yeah, the SEC can't claim it. But statistics say otherwise. And yeah, all the yeah, what have you done for me lately, y'all? It's been 2 years. Michigan and Ohio State. It's 2 years. The SEC will be right back dominating like they do. And you look at the conference, because we beat each other up so much in the SEC. People look at the Big Ten like, oh, they're so dominant. Bro, look at who they're playing. I just told y'all two, maybe three games that may be challenging for Ohio State next year. Oregon's schedule this year was, outside of them playing Ohio State, a joke. Like, what are we talking about? What we need to do, and what we were talking about before, is what I was talking to somebody about this before too, is I said that these conferences need to have at least two non-conference, like legit non-conference opponents. Like, play two top dogs from the SEC. I know Ohio State is playing Texas, but put Alabama on the schedule. Put LSU on your schedule during the season. Put two ACC teams. Put two Big Ten teams. Do, like, mix it up. Alabama usually schedules, you know, like a pretty, you know, multiple opponents from different, like, pretty, you know, solid opponents from different conferences. I mean, they've been doing it for a long time, for a while. I mean, I think this year we're kicking off the year against Florida State. Now, I'm not saying Florida State is like, you know, obviously we know what Florida State is right now. But that game, that was scheduled a couple years in advance, to before we knew what they were going to be now. But yeah, man, we need to start mixing this thing up, because these cupcake schedules, it's a joke. And then you get the committee up here putting Indiana and SMU in the top 10, and then they get smacked in the first round. Like, it's a joke, bro. And while we're on that, before I get to my we start talking about the NFL, because I want to get into the ACC and ACC, the AFC and the NFC championship games, excuse me. Quickly wanted to touch on the college football playoff, because I do think that changes need to be made. I do think that, like what Coach Saban was saying, there doesn't need to be any more automatic bids for winning your conference into the playoff. I don't agree with that, simply because if you look at it from this first college football playoff, you look at a team like Arizona State, right? They were ranked, I want to say, 16 or 17 heading into the Big 12 championship. They won the Big 12 championship game. They got a first round bye. Ohio State won the Big 10 championship, and they had to play in the first round. But Arizona State was ranked way behind Ohio State. How does that make any type of sense? You got Boise State and Arizona State getting first round byes, while Ohio State and Tennessee and, you know, and teams like that have to play in the first round. That just doesn't make any sense. Logically, that doesn't make any sense. You know, and, you know, the rankings versus the seedings, that just is just the way that they did it was just dumb. And it's not because Alabama didn't make it in. Obviously, Alabama didn't deserve to be in there. Now, I would have liked Alabama to get in over SMU, because we knew what was about to happen with that. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I'm not saying it's, I mean, Bama wouldn't have got smacked against Penn State the way we were playing football. But hey, I mean, they got tricked and they got fooled. And the problem is, they put them in the top 10 early in the year, and they just left them there. They just left them there and left them there and left them there. Same with Indiana. Oh, they're not getting their respect. They're not getting respected. They need their respect. They won 11 games. They won 12 games. And you see what happens. First round, smack. You got guys like Booger McFarland out here talking about, oh, they need to be respected. They need to be respected. And it's so funny every time he does this, every time he lobbies for a team and just gets so irate and upset, they get smacked. And he has nothing to say about it. It's the same song every year. He did the same thing with Florida State. Yeah, they went, you know, undefeated. Lost their quarterback. We knew what was going to happen, you know. He does it every year. So, you know, there obviously needs to be changes. Again, no automatic bids. I think that they just need to do the 1 through the 12 or whatever. I think they're going to go to 14 teams, whatever they're going to do. But they need an actual there needs to be a commissioner of college football. And I hope that happens, and I hope it's Nick Saban, because he seems to be the only one that has the most logical way of thinking when it comes to this. So hopefully there's a commissioner to oversee this committee in the next year or two. So we'll see what happens before next season, and we'll continue to kind of keep reporting on that as more news comes out about what they're planning to do for this upcoming season's college football playoff. Now let's talk about the AFC and the NFC championship game, man, because I want to give y'all my Super Bowl prediction before we wrap up here. So want to break down each game, want to talk about X factors, want to talk about who I'm picking to go to the Super Bowl this year. So we'll kick off with the NFC championship game first. We got the Washington Commanders, surprising team in the NFC championship game, going on an insane run right now, going on the road to face the Philadelphia Eagles. They kick off at 3 p.m. on Sunday. The Eagles are a 6-point favorite. Over under in this game is 47.5. This is round three between both of these teams. They split the season series 1-1. The Eagles won the first matchup 26-18 at home. Saquon Barkley had 146 yards on the ground, two touchdowns. The Commanders won a second matchup, Thriller, 36-33. If you didn't see that game, man, you missed a crazy one. Jaden Daniels threw for 258 yards and five touchdowns, and one of those touchdowns being in the final seconds of the game to give the Commanders the lead and eventually the win. Now, only interesting thing in this one is Jalen Hurts left this game in the first quarter early due to a concussion. So that did have a crazy impact, because it was still a close, tight game. But it is different. You know, we don't have Jalen out there. But then, look, we're not making excuses. Saquon in that game ran for 150 and two touchdowns on the ground. Now, X factors for the Commanders. Looking at the Commanders, man, obviously the X factor is Jaden Daniels. I mean, he's coming off an impressive performance. 299 yards, two touchdowns versus the Lions. This team, I mean, they go as he goes. I mean, you see what Jaden Daniels is doing in his rookie season. He's on an insane run right now. They beat the Bucs on the road, beat the Lions on the road, and now they're on the road going up against the Philadelphia Eagles. Man, it kind of reminds you of that, that Giants team with Eli Manning. Now, they had more losses, obviously. The Commanders have a better record than them, but they, you know, having to go on the road and three times, right, and to get to the Super Bowl. I think their NFC Championship game it was against the Packers in Lambeau, and yeah, man. I mean, just looking at it, it's just, you can't deny that Jaden Daniels is the X factor, and the way that he's playing is it's at an elite level right now. And to have that as a rookie is something special. I think that, you know, he plays with so much poise, and you can't tell that he's a rookie. I mean, and I'm happy for him, you know. Him and Caleb Williams, I would expect them to be battling it out. They'll be in some NFC championship games and divisional round games against each other for years to come. I'm excited about the both of them, but man, Jaden Daniels is just he's playing at an elite level right now. And a lot of people talking about, you know, that what CJ Stroud did in his rookie season, and then Jaden Daniels comes and does this in his rookie season, so the bar is now being raised even higher. And if he advances to the Super Bowl in his rookie season, I mean, my God, could you imagine the type of expectations? That's obviously, it wouldn't be fair to put those type of expectations on a rookie, but you're just looking at it like, man, it can be done, right? And that's what coaching can do for you, personnel, you know, the right pieces in place, right? Offensive line, running game, right? Those are the things that allow you to be able to do stuff like this in your rookie season. So, I know there's some Bears fans out there too that are saying, oh man, you know, we should have got Jaden Daniels. Look, it didn't matter who we had under center with the offensive line that we had, right? So, again, I'm glad we have Caleb. Jaden is where he's supposed to be, and I'm looking forward to seeing them both battle it out for years to come, man. But another X factor, if I had to pick one for Washington, is Deami Brown. You know, Deami Brown, he had a heck of a game. I mean, I know Terry McLaurin, obviously, but Deami Brown is another guy that's, you know, watch out. He had 98 yards receiving on six receptions against the Lions, and he had some big catches, some pretty big catches in that game too, right? So he is a guy that you got to watch out for, a X factor. So, you know, definitely pay attention to him. Definitely keep your eyes on Deami Brown. And the X factor for me, for the Eagles, is Saquon Barkley. I mean, hands down, Saquon Barkley. In two games against the Commanders, you know, look at what he's combined for, right? I mean, 258 in the first game, 150 in the second game, right? I mean, you're talking about combined 408 yards, right? 408 yards on the ground. And on top of that, four touchdowns. So, you know, you definitely have to keep your eyes and try to contain Saquon, even if that's possible, which I don't even think it's possible to just completely contain Saquon Barkley. But yeah, he is clearly the X factor for them. And I'm going to pick another X factor, because I did two for the Commanders. My boy Smitty, Devontae Smith, another X factor for me. I know he didn't have a huge game against the Rams, but Smitty is a guy that he could get open. He could beat you over the top. You definitely got to watch out for him. So I'm going with my boy Devontae Smith as the other X factor for the Eagles. And I think this game will be a shootout. I think it's going to be an outstanding thriller. But in the end, I think that Philly gets a critical stop in the fourth quarter, and seals the deal with the Saquon Barkley touchdown and send him to the Super Bowl. That's to put the stamp on it, man. And I'm picking the Philadelphia Eagles to advance to the Super Bowl. Now let's do the AFC Championship. Got the Bills going on the road to the Kansas City Chiefs. That game is kicking off at 6:30 p.m. The Chiefs are a two-point favorite, just a two-point favorite. The over-under in this game is 48.5. The Chiefs are back in the AFC Championship game for the seventh straight year. Getting tired of that, but seventh straight year. Somebody please beat the Chiefs. Round two matchup between the two. The Bills won the first matchup 31-21. Josh Allen threw for 262 yards and two touchdowns. And he also had 55 yards rushing in a touchdown that first matchup. The Bills defense also forced two turnovers by picking off Mahomes twice. Bills in that game were 60% on third down. The Chiefs were 50%. The Bills also controlled the time of possession, 34 minutes to 25 minutes. Now, the X factor for the Bills, we know, is Josh Allen with his dual threat ability. And the level that he's playing at right now, I mean, it just puts a lot of pressure on defenses, right? Like, when you look at, you know, that the MVP level he's playing at right now, and the way that he performed against the Ravens, you can't deny that. You just simply can't deny, you know, what Josh Allen has been able to do. Now, am I confident that the Bills are going to beat the Chiefs? I'm not really confident, but I'm hoping for it. I don't know. I kind of gave y'all my pick early, but yeah. I mean, I personally think that Josh Allen is just he's doing his thing, and you can't deny that. And another X factor, if I had to pick another X factor for the Buffalo Bills, because they have so many people, they spread it out so well. If I had to pick another X factor for them, I would say, aside from Josh Allen being able to run and pass, I would probably go with Curtis Samuel. Curtis Samuel, I mean, he's a guy that's, you know, he can still make a big play. I mean, he is a guy that can definitely come up with big plays for this offense if they need him to step up. So he could be an X factor. I'm gonna say potential X factor for him. Now, the Chiefs. Like I said, with Josh Allen, he puts a lot of pressure on defenses, man, with his running ability. So, we'll see how that helps in this matchup. But the Chiefs, X factor for the Chiefs, outside of Patrick Mahomes, obviously, I'm going to say Xavier Worthy is my second guy. He had 4 receptions for 61 yards and a touchdown in their first matchup. And his longest catch in that game was 31 yards. So we know the Chiefs are big on chunk plays. He's a guy that can get over the top. Can he have an even better performance than he did in that first game and have multiple chunk plays? Again, Xavier Worthy is a guy who's speedy. He's quick. He can get open. So can he have some big chunk plays, those 30, 40 yard, 50 yard receptions? This is another game. I think this game will also be a shootout as well. I expect it to be high scoring, a thriller similar to what we saw in 2021. However, I think that Josh Allen and the Bills will pull this one out this time around in advance to the Super Bowl. So I'm picking the Bills. Again, I think that they'll be able to control that clock with Josh Allen's ability to run, keep those drives going. They'll have those long, sustained drives. And I'm picking the Bills. I think their defense will step up and make some plays like they did in that first game. So I'm picking the Bills. So there you have it. My Super Bowl matchup is the Eagles versus the Bills. Hopefully my pick is right. We'll see. And, of course, I'll tell y'all who I'm rolling with in the Super Bowl once it's all set in stone. But that's who I'm rolling with, Eagles versus Bills. Let me know who you're picking for the Super Bowl to advance the Super Bowl. But hey, that's all I have for y'all, man. I appreciate y'all giving me some time. Appreciate y'all rocking with me today. Again, apologies about my absence, but I'm back. New and improved 2025. Ready to keep on jumping on and talking about what's been going on in the world of sports with y'all each and every week, man. So keep it locked. I'll be back. Peace, love. Y'all enjoy the weekend. Stay blessed. I'm out.